Example.
There's so many pressures on it. What started off as something that was open and free for everyone to use has got a lot of pressures from commercial forces. Not that there's anything wrong in making money on the internet, but companies have a different agenda to people just us consumers. Some governments want to use it to control. Some governments want to use it to protect and keep open, but at the same time are well aware of the threats that it poses. And then you've got us, the people. It is ours, really. We make it. We put the content on. And it's because we use it that it grows.
One.
It was started by Vint Cerf and Bob Kahn, and then Tim Berners-Lee built the web, the protocols for the web on top of that. And they all had the same idea, that the standards and the protocols would be open and free and universal. And that is what has enabled it to grow as it has grown across the world, because wherever you are in the world, you can use the same technical standards to access it. And you don't have to pay anybody a license or buy any software to do that.
Two.
Well, if you take the example of Facebook, they don't want to keep the internet free and open. They would like everybody just to use Facebook, right? They don't really have a vested interest in keeping it open and free. Some governments do have, and other governments don't have. And some companies do have. I mean, I would say Google, for example, really needs an open internet to work, because we all have to use their search engine for us to get the for them to get the information about us.
Three.
No, I think generally people don't. I'm not sure how much what the feeling is in Australia. In the UK, there is definitely a groundswell that they worry about how much governments know about us and what data the governments store about us. But actually, the commercial companies store even more, and probably know more about us in their own silos. And we don't seem to question that at all. We use loyalty cards. We happily use our credit cards and our phones everywhere, buy anything everywhere. That's what we like about it.
Four.
The thing about the internet is it reflects everything about society. So all the good and bad stuff in society is writ large in the internet. And it feels so dangerous, because it seems to happen very quickly and it scales very quickly. But actually, of course, there's always been fake news. There's always been propaganda. There's always been people that have wanted to twist the news to their own ends. It's just that we've got a new way of doing that now. And it's partly about education. It's about questioning the provenance of the information. You know, who generated that video? Who generated that story? What is the provenance of the... Where's the data that says that story is true? And that's what we've got to learn to check.
Five.
Yeah, this is a big issue. I think with all technological revolutions, and this is a huge one, there will be a loss of jobs, but what history tells us that more jobs will be created as a result. It's just that when you're going through it, there are going to be people who will lose the jobs they have today, and they don't have the skills for the jobs that will be created. And so it does all come back to education, and this is where governments play a major part. It's that very issue of where are the new jobs going to be, and how do we get people into a position where they can take advantage of new jobs.
Six.
Ever since computers have been invented, people have talked about how they can help us learn, and that's what got me into computing in the first place. And I do believe that we're at a point where people will be able to sit down, have customized learning programs where the machine actually guides them through the information. We're not quite there yet, but I do think that more and more people will be able to learn online.